Hello, my friends. Welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Paul White. It is the 13th day of October. We're at hump day. You're halfway through the week. I hope that you are being blessed and walking in the favor of God and at rest in what's going on in the world around you. I know that that doesn't seem easy because what's going on in the world around us is almost always chaotic. I want to remind you that it's been that way forever. We just don't always think of it in terms that it was as bad as yesterday as it is today. I know that's hard for people to believe. Sometimes they think, well, it's worse today, it'll be worse tomorrow. And that's sort of a nihilistic attitude. Everything's going to get worse. It's a terrible way to live. And I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand and just not knowing what's going on around you, but not to let the system of this world come near you. What's the point in believing in a resurrected Christ if we are simply going to fall beneath the waves that crash around us in the world? We have something better. So I'm praying that you walk in that. If you are struggling with that, my prayer for you is that you discover the beauty of that and you rest in the favor of God. Now, that segues pretty perfectly into what we're going to talk about today, because I'm still working on these early chapters in the book of Genesis. I'm really trying to take us up through the ark story, and we've gotten Noah and his family off the ark, but God then, he meets Noah and gives the sign of the covenant. He has told Noah prior to him going onto the ark that he was going to establish a covenant with him, and that seems to be that he's going to multiply Noah and his seed on the earth. But then he gives us the fullness of that covenant. Genesis chapter 9, verse 12, God said, "This is the sign of the covenant, which I will make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And it shall be when I bring a cloud over the earth that the rainbow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. The water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh." Talked yesterday about how really God's promise is not just that it won't be water that destroys all flesh, but he tells us in Genesis 8, he's just not going to do that. I'm not going to destroy every living thing. Then verse 16, "The rainbow shall be in the cloud. I will look on it to remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth." What's the covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that's on the earth? "I'm not going to destroy all flesh that's on the earth." God makes that promise. Okay, that encompasses verses 12 to 17 of Genesis 9. There's a lot there. And I want to take a couple of days here and really work on the covenant through God's lens. But I want to focus today on the rainbow covenant that's given in Genesis 9. We know the science behind rainbows, why this light refracts with certain amount of water molecules in the atmosphere and the sun. And yet we know why it exists. We don't just, we all read this, that the rainbow is a sign of covenant, and yet we have a scientific explanation behind why the rainbow exists. So that allows us to take the science behind why it is there and attach it to a covenantal promise, so that when we see the rainbow, we don't deny the science behind rainbows. We just recognize that there's more there than meets the eye. I think sometimes it's okay to look at something and go, there's science behind that, there's proof behind that, but that's not the end of the story. There's always more there than meets the eye. And so the rainbow sort of marks that we know God is speaking something to us when we look at it. It's meant so that we look up into the sky, we see the rainbow, and that while we might sit and think of the science, what we really walk away with as children of God is, that reminds me of the time that God made us a promise that he will not turn on us, that he is not going to destroy everything from off the face of the earth. Us having that promise gives us a certain level of peace, gives us a certain level of comfort in knowing that that God is not opposing us. He's not fighting against us. He's on our side. That's how we look at it through a Noah lens. When you read the book of Revelation, you are reading allegorical, symbolic language that unveils Christ to a first century audience, but also unveils Christ across time to all of us. When you get into the fourth chapter of Revelation, you go into the throne room of heaven, you go up and see basically what is happening in heavenly places. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, verse number, let's read 2 and 3. Immediately, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and sardius stone in appearance. There was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, what we know is happening in Revelation 4, because we have a throne, is we're dealing with a king. And since Jesus has been revealed in the earlier chapter, standing in front of the throne, we know that we're looking at God Almighty. Now, if we're looking at God Almighty, the judge, we're in the throne room of the heavens. What is a rainbow doing in the throne room of the heavens? There's no science behind the rainbow being there. It's not as if it's just been raining in heaven and now there's a rainbow. But for a Jewish audience reading the book of Revelation, what they look back on is their own literature. And their own literature taught them in Genesis chapter 9 that when you see the rainbow, you are to be reminded of covenant. So the book of Revelation, in its ongoing unveilings of Jesus, reveals to the audience that when you get to the throne room of heaven, one of the things that you will see is a rainbow. And that if a rainbow has reminded you of the covenant-keeping God before, then the rainbow should remind you of the covenant-keeping God now. And the covenant-keeping God with a rainbow surrounding his throne lets us know that we are in covenant with the one that sits on the throne. We are not in opposition to the one. The rainbow reminds me that he is not out to destroy me. So when I go into the throne room and there's a rainbow around the throne, it reminds me he's not out to destroy me. He's not against me. He's on my side. This is not a king I need to fear. This is not a king I need to run from. This is a king I need to embrace and run towards, because this is a king that is on my side. This is a king with whom I have covenant. So when you look at the rainbow, you can now move past Noah. You and I get to look at the rainbow and move into the throne room. This is the New Testament. We get to see the rainbow as surrounding the throne of the heavens, and the king that sits on that throne is on our side. He's not against us. He is for us. Tomorrow, we talk about the remembrance of covenant. This is the first place God talks about remembering covenant. And then once again, the New Testament picks that theme and takes it a little farther. We'll do that tomorrow. See you then. God bless.